This podcast is recorded on the lands of the Pangarang and the Turrbal people of the Yugara Nation. We pay our respects to their elders past and present and acknowledge that sovereignty was never ceded and the modern Australian nation has never come to terms with or made any genuine effort to address what was done to Indigenous people following European arrival.
Well, may we say, God save the Queen, because nothing will save the Governor General.
You know I've searched my heart to prove there's better ways to push and pull. Hey, whatever gets you through these days.
Hello and welcome to Well May We Say, a progressive podcast about Australian politics. This is episode 183 for Sunday, 18th of May, 2025. I'm Jeremy Siapirco, and each week I'll be joined by a different guest or several guests to help me discuss what's just been happening to Australia, what's likely to happen, and hopefully what we can do about it. Welcome back, Nick and Denise.
Hey!
Oh my goodness, is it going to be a co-host, like, battle?
Oh, no, well, actually, whichever of us gets the fewest likes will be eliminated and their preferences will then go across. This is a three-cornered contest in the podcast to see who gets to be the, yeah.
I want to change it to first past the post.
Hey, that's just because, what, you're concerned that the Denise-Jeremy living in the same house block might corruptly work together to...
Yeah, I'm worried with preferential voting I'll get. Plus, I think there's been a redistribution in my area as well, so... I feel like I'm unfairly disadvantaged.
We've been excluded from the electorate, I think.
I want multi-member electorates. I'm bringing someone else in.
Wait, you want all three people? You don't want just to be one person on the podcast. You want there to be three people on the podcast at the same time.
Yep. Three people for each of us in each window, so nine people total.
God. Oh, okay. So what you're saying is there should be three leaders of this podcast. We could have like a co-leadership thing,
mm-hmm.
and we can have... Three different people who are... Can we have three people editing it? Because this thing takes forever to edit, and I'd be more than happy to divide that one up.
We need a team.
Well, I guess the first thing I really wanted to talk about this week was just basically the fallout from the election. Obviously, when we recorded last, it was just after the election, and as we predicted, Adam Bandt got to retain his seat, and nothing has changed in the subsequent 2 weeks. Everything's fine. The Greens haven't... Anyway, so...
And they've finished all the counting. There's no vote counting still going on. It's all sorted.
Yes.
The election's, nearly a month later is all laid to rest.
We don't even know if there's the happy outcome of Tim Wilson being toppled or the sad outcome of Tim Wilson not being toppled.
Yeah, but they stopped counting for the weekend too.
Well, on the plus side, at least, even if he does slither through like the disgusting snake years, at least they tortured him for as long as possible. Like they really dragged it out, so they made it as miserable as possible for him. And that's important because this podcast is all about Schadenfreude.
It's looking like they'll probably end up being a recount no matter what, just because it's going to be such a close number.
Mm. We're never going to find out who's going to represent Goldstein.
Yeah, I think they should fight to the death.
Look, I'm just going to say this up front first. There's two things I want to say up front. First of all, I want to say hi to anybody who's popped across from Serious Danger, because we finally got around to actually supporting financially another Australian podcast, which we should have done ages ago, but we, yeah. And then when we did it, we of course did it from our Patreon, which is the Well May We Say Patreon, because it's the only Patreon I have. And so then some might think that was a deliberate cynical attempt to cross-promote, where in actual fact, you know, we're happy to promote Serious Danger and we're happy to promote the leftist podcast that Jordan Vandenberg does, and we're happy to promote the show. Like, I reckon a happy little... The more lefties we have, more lefties we've got there putting out content, the better. So
I could not agree more. I think that it's something I was really like thinking about a lot after the American election, and, you know, they were talking about the impact that, you know, social media has there, and that there's now there's sort of more emerging left-wing media, like the Midas Touch have overtaken Joe Rogan and stuff like that. I think that, yeah, the more left-wing content we can have out in the sphere, the better it is, and the more we sort of cross promote and all that, I think it goes a long way to setting a tone, you know.
Now that's it. I'm more than happy for those other leftist podcasts to financially support us as well and have us promote them as being thank you for the Patreon. Like, that's also good because, you know, I'd like a Patreon subscribing to like cover the hosting again like it used to before we like disappeared for a year. On the press club this week, they had Hannah Ferguson on, when she was saying, they asked her about the balance of social media type interaction, like political podcasts and content from Australia versus in the US, where it's heavily right wing. And in Australia, like, it does seem to lean left, and that's probably because we have a universally right-wing media, whereas at least... I mean, they have a universally right-wing media too, but from their own perspective, there's the left of the Democrats media, which really isn't very left at all, but they've got that balance, so there isn't a like an entire half of politics that's just going to basically be completely ignored by the dominant media, like where our media landscape is much more controlled by Murdoch. And anyway, that was her theory for why there seems to be more lefty. Like, you know, you see right-wing things pop up occasionally. Like you have like the Young IPA podcast and it lasts not too long before, like it has to be actively funded by like a right-wing organization like the IPA to keep going, because I don't think there's much audience for it, because why bother? Like right-wingers can just tune into the Sky After Dark and hear, you know, quality content like, hey, let me drop in Sherry Markson gloating. Sorry, I should give everybody the warning, if you like, you know, content warning here, but Sherry Markson gloating over Adam Bant losing a seat. And the bit that I want you to listen to in this crap is just when she talks about how horrifying all of Adam Bant's hate speech, like just how horrifying Adam's hate speech really is.
Well, let's start the show with this good news. And are we all popping the champagne tonight, having a drink to celebrate? Because it looks like Adam Bant is out of politics. The leader of the most vile anti-Israel party, who made Jewish Australians feel like they didn't have a place in this country. And now, if Sky News chief election analyst Tom Connell is right, Adam Bant has lost his job. And here were some of your despicable comments.
Calling for an end to the invasion of Gaza, putting sanctions on this extreme war cabinet of Benjamin Netanyahu that is subject to orders to stop genocide, ending the military trade with Israel and expelling the Israeli ambassador. We want to see an end to the invasion of Gaza and an end to the occupation. Children are now dying because they can't get enough to eat or drink as part of a human-engineered famine, human-engineered by the Israeli military.
There will not be a just and lasting peace in the region until the occupation of Palestine ends.
And now he's been voted out.
Yeah, Nick, and do they see, he's opposed to the killing of the old children there. It's what an outrage, what a bigot.
Outrageous. That's extreme. Classic case of the extreme green.
It is. You know, killing children, is that really a line that you can't cross?
Well, Adam thinks so. That's why he's lost his seat. Now, you know, many people could say, well, many people have been saying on Sky. Oh, sorry, I should... Do I need to drop in here that Pauline Hanson gloating about when Adam lost his seat and she was so happy she ran around her house in her underpants?
Now, news of Bant's departure was celebrated by Pauline Hanson this afternoon.
Just quietly between you and I was getting ready to come onto your program when I heard the news. And I couldn't help it. I did a dance around the house in my bra and knickers, and I had to have a gin and tonic. So I am so excited. That's the best news I've heard.
I'm sure she wasn't the only one dancing around in her undies celebrating when the news came through.
Please don't. Like, yeah, it's terrifying.
I've already dropped it in.
No one needs to think
about
that.
I've already dropped it in. So
no, don't. Take it
just it seems
back.
Weird
Take
now because I've dropped it in there and then you two are saying, please don't do it, but I've already done it. Like, you can't stop me. I've already, in the future, travelled back and put that in as I was editing it. So sorry, guys. But the Israel and Gaza thing, like, it really has been. And, like, I guess the biggest thing I wanted to highlight this week is thank goodness that the Greens have picked from their very good collection of people they could possibly pick, unlike the Libs who had to pick between Angus Taylor and Susan Lee. What a shit. Whereas the Greens were like Sarah Hanson-Young, Larissa Waters, Maureen Faruqi, like, all good choices, all good people. Mm. And then they do they just have a chat and they're like, oh, you do want it? Okay, well, you can have it. It's
very unanimous vote.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Some would say there should be a membership vote, but I don't know. I have some issues about that because I'm not sure how that would work in practice. If the members elected a person that the parliamentary party didn't want to or had issues working with, then that might cause real problems because they have. Anyway, we'll come back
to that. It's not the system we have, so that's not a thing.
Point is that they're not listening to any of the 2 weeks that we've just had of people saying, you know what's wrong with the Greens? All of the things that the Greens actually stand for that I hate. Like, if the Greens were a right-wing party, then I'd be fine with them. But instead, they keep doing all this lefty stuff. If only they'd give up on that, then you know, then we'd be okay with them again. If they were just an environmental party, then we'd also hate them for that too. But
I did find it funny that one of the Sky News commentators was like, oh, they've gone so far from being the party of Bob Brown. We used to respect them when they were the party of Bob Brown and they were an environmental party. It's like, no, you didn't.
Yeah. Nobody go back and play back any of the footage of us damning Bob Brown and, like, banning him from the parliament because he protested the Chinese States Premier when he and George Bush, like, they hated Bob Brown's guts.
Always have, always will.
the extent to which they're like demanding that we all forget, like, stuff that we remember. So I'm really glad that the Greens have basically said to all the people who are telling them, the people who hate them, who only want them to stop doing lefty stuff, and the Greens are like, no, we're going to keep doing that. We're going to, sorry, that's us.
Yeah,
that's what our voters expect us to do.
But what I don't get is all the commentators who are going on Sky, many of whom are Liberal Party members or Liberal people who've been elected, saying literally that the Greens have missed the memo by their leader being thrown out and that they shouldn't stick to supporting Gaza because obviously that's why they're thrown out, and they shouldn't stick to this lefty stuff because that's why they were thrown out, and they missed the memo. And
as
I feel like there's a complete lack of self-awareness.
Yeah, but also, how great's nuclear power? exactly. It's like, they've really not paid attention. But also,
well, sorry. That's apparently assisting on that as part of the coalition talks. Like
I reckon they'll get it
which
too.
Which just shows how committed the Nationals are to farmers. Because, you know, one thing farmers are really big on is, like, nuclear plants.
Nuclear
anyway.
Power,
like, it's just the Nats are the mining lobby. They're not. I would love local farmers to figure that out.
Yeah, it is crazy, though. I will say, like, especially because around here is a lot of the area where the Nats are really strong, or the Nat side of the LNP. They have done a good enough job out in the regions, like, just destroying. Everybody is so weirdly against renewable energy out this way, as we've sort of talked about before. There's so much of it. So, like, I think in the Nat seats, it does, like, that the nuclear power thing has taken. It doesn't work in the cities and that where, I don't know, people are exposed to sort of, other ideas and that, but in the regions.
But that's where the plants would go. The plants aren't going in a city. They're going in a region. Like,
no, it's crazy though. But they honestly think that they're starting to. I mean, there's a lot of people that gone to a lot of expense and put a lot of time and effort into spreading lies about renewable energy and stuff in the regions, and it's been very effective. Like, people, I talk to people all the time who are like, oh, we just got to get into nuclear. Like, just get out. They just got to get out of the way. And you're like, what? Why? And they're like, because they just hate renewable energy. They'll talk about wind farms. They talk about wind farms like they do with vaccines. It's turning kids autistic and all sorts of crazy stuff, like it's turning frogs gay and whatever. Like, they really hate.
Yeah.
They're doing a bit of that.
Have you ever heard of a gay frog until windmills? Exactly. The thing that gets me about the back on the Gaza and Israel thing, like, I did, obviously it's a nuts position to take. This was the electorate rejecting the Greens because of being pro-Gaza when they kicked out Peter Dutton, who could not have been more pro-Israel, like, literally declaring that they were going to, not honour the ICC warrant if Netanyahu came out. They made a big thing about interrogating Penny Wong.
So can I just confirm the Albanese government's position is not to bring the conflict here, in planning to do that is to leave open the possibility that Australia may well arrest the Prime Minister of Israel should he come here?
I'm not. Well, that they're your words, and that your motivation behind. And I think everyone can see your motivation behind it, Senator Cash.
Well,
I think everyone can see your motivation behind that.
We stand with Israel.
Well,
we stand with Israel. We stand with the democracy, and we are prepared to say that Prime Minister Netanyahu is welcome here under a Dutton government.
What, are you going to arrest the leader of Israel if he comes out as per the ICC warrant? And, like, I mean, that's what the warrant
is. We should do,
That's it. Did you see that the ICC prosecutor has now, all of a sudden, after issuing warrants against Netanyahu and Putin, suddenly there's a sexual harassment case that they've removed him. And meanwhile, before that happened, Microsoft took his email, seized his email, then he's had his bank accounts blocked. Like, they literally did all of these things. It's just weird that this has never happened to an ICC prosecutor before. It's just suddenly happening now that the warrant's out on Netanyahu and Putin. What a weird coincidence.
Yeah, I don't know. Whatever happened to rule of law? I reckon if you do genocide crime, you get genocide time.
Well, so the point I wanted to make about how that all impacts on Australia is, like, I don't think you can say, okay, maybe the Greens suffered in McNamara, although there's not actually a lot of data yet to suggest that happened. But you can. There certainly seems they benefited in Wills on a vote from, because there was a campaign for Muslim voters to vote Green, even though socially on other issues they might have been quite conservative and not in favour of various Greens policies, but in terms of the Greens supporting their human rights. So it might have gained them Greens some vote there. There's probably other places where the Libs' hostility to Gaza gained them votes from Jewish Australians or from pro-Israel Australians anyway.
Mm.
So it seems to me that they probably came out in the wash. I don't think there's a stronger version either side, but where it didn't come out in the wash and where it had an impact would have been on. So we saw not only have you got the Advance Australia campaign very carefully targeting huge amounts of social media attacks on those Greens electorates.
Mm.
But you also had a mob. I can't open it up now because Facebook's something on my phone. I'm doing this on my phone. But they had like they're boasting about like having 400,000 messages delivered to like 26,000 voters in those seats, and they were boasting about how they had been able to flip the Green seats and keep the Labor seats the Greens were challenging. And that group itself is part of a particular pro-Israel lobby within the ALP. So that was Better Australia. Mm-hmm. There's Advance Australia. Like, the amount of money that was spent to deliberately target the Greens on those seats, it didn't work overall. Like, in a lot of ways, it was a huge failure because the Greens vote, it stood up nationally, but it did have those seats, which, you know, in single member electorates, it's always going to be a complete crapshoot where the Greens get any representation at all. They're, you know, we're lucky to get one out of 150, like, which is, let me see, is that over 1%? No, it's under 1%, even if we've got like 12% of the vote because it's geographically spread out. I've ranted about many times. But it's
still, like, their vote was almost the same. Like, it only dropped a very, like, a 0.02% or 0.2%.
It depending was still on the seat, 12%. Melbourne, it went back a little bit more.
But it gained in some areas, and especially if you look in some of those outer areas where they have. One of the things Fruki was saying was, if you look in those outer urban areas where there's a lot of multicultural families, there's a lot of people going to the Greens because they support that.
Which suggests that because those particular seats where the Greens were competitive were targeted heavily by this social media campaign, it's almost, you could almost see that as evidence that that campaign was successful in suppressing the Greens' vote. It was only, they couldn't do it more broadly, but it's almost like if it was growing up in those other areas, it probably would have gone up in Melbourne or Wills or the Greens or Griffith. It might have gone up if they hadn't been able to allocate those huge resources trying to destroy them. But, so my point in relation to Israel and Gaza is A, you know, the Greens shouldn't change their position just because of money being thrown at them. In fact, they shouldn't change their position because it's difficult fighting for progressive things, because it's always going to be difficult to fight for progressive things. It's going to be a difficult fight. We've got to expect that there's going to be some setbacks. But moreover, I think, like, insofar as there is any direct effect of the Israel-Gaza thing, I think it's probably on the money that was spent to try and unseat them, because the Palestinian lobby does not have those resources to target, on targeting seats and trying to take them off people, whereas the much better established lobby the problem is that actual anti-Semitism has long run the Jews funding the world like conspiracy nonsense, and that's not what this is. But this is that Israel as a country has a very deliberate international policy for persuading politicians in like AIPAC in America.
Yeah,
like there's a lot of money that's spent to get politicians who are friendly to the state of Israel, and clearly that happened here. Like, I don't think there's really an argument that that's what was happening in terms of Better Australia, for example.
Yeah.
So,
but the very first thing Fruki said was that, you know, they would continue to support that, and she couldn't be part of a party that didn't continue to support that, and she was proud to be part of that party. And Larissa said that in the Waters said that in the press conference too, that, you know, we stand for environmentalism, we stand for social justice, and one of those things of social justice, Gaza is a massive social justice issue where the most human downtrodden are being absolutely destroyed, and we won't back off from that. What we're saying is, hey, Labor, we'll absolutely work with you, but we'll work with you to be progressive and to get stuff passed.
Yes. Some shit done. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, and I think that, and nor should we ever, because the second, you know, you take a backward step at all, especially around those issues, the second you admit, even if you admit a little bit of, oh, maybe we should, they'll be like, that's it, the Greens are wrong. You know, like, you only need to, you can't even concede on a minor point, because as soon as you do that, it'll just,
Well, there isn't anything to concede either.
No, there's like, nothing to concede. No, exactly, yeah.
Like, literally the position on Gaza is, like, all the stuff they're trying to attack the Greens for, oh, maybe you shouldn't have been less on Gaza. What, we shouldn't support human rights? We should be okay with literally the state of Israel right now declaring that they're going to just come and take Gaza full stop. Like, they're planning to
killed, what, 140 people in the past 48 hours.
And the media doesn't want to talk about it. Like, so they're like, the only time we'll mention it is like, see, the Greens, you know, lost some seats and they were the only pro-Gaza policy. So see, now we don't, Australians obviously don't want to hear about it. That is a wild conclusion to draw. But also, the union stuff, like the Greens, like the media, the day after, I'm not sure if this was the last one or not, but the day after the media were talking on Insiders, they're like, you know, the Greens were, the Max Chandler-Mather standing up with the CFMEU. And I remember when Bant lost his seat and went on 7:30, like they also interrogated him on that. I think Sarah Ferguson had asked him something to the effect of...
Just coming back, though, to your own decisions, the decisions made by Greens, was it a tactical misjudgment that in this case I'm referring to Max Chandler-Mather's embrace of the CFMEU, was it a tactical misjudgment because it aligned you in the voters' minds with union thuggery?
Oh, well, look, there'll be others who, I'll leave others to make the decisions about the analysis and the reasons why. But I mean, I do repeat the point that the things that we were
campaigning on, including in Griffith, where Max, you know, gave up a portion of his salary to ensure that there were free school, free meals for school children and so on. Like the things that we were campaigning on, the housing crisis, the climate crisis.
Unfortunately, Adam didn't hit back with what I don't know why the Greens aren't hitting back every time, which is, no, we weren't there to support the CFMEU. We were there to support unions when the government was passing legislation that the Libs will be able to use to smash unions. Anybody who thinks this is about the CFMEU is being naive. This is entirely about the rights of union members to have their own representatives, and the legislation that the ALP passed destroys that. We're not there to support the CFMEU and people in the CFMEU who did the wrong thing. We're there to support CFMEU members and union members in general. We're there to support union members being able to fight for their rights, and the Labor Party sabotaged that, and we will fight for union members no matter what. Like, instead of being ashamed of it, like just standing up and being like, no, we are the union party. We will stand up for union rights. The ALP apparently has abandoned that, which is wild, but anyway, they have. We're proud of standing up for unions.
I have seen over the times, like Nick McKim and Max Chandler-Mather, whenever they were questioned that, they did push back quite strongly. But yeah, on that Insiders, that Sarah Ferguson interview that you're talking about, yeah, Adam did sort of kind of flub that, which is a bit disappointing. He didn't really go hard enough, I think, in response.
I'm particularly knowing that's the only framing that they're getting. Like, people are not hearing why the Greens were there. They're just hearing they stood up for the thugs and the CFMEU. So they only get a limited bit of airtime. Like, they are deplatformed largely. So when they have those precious moments, they need to be hitting back immediately with, no, we're pro-union. Not pro-CFMEU, pro-union, and that the ALP was passing legislation that harms all unions. Not just the CFMEU.
They need to be really grinding that sort of those responses out in media training and stuff like that, because they need to get really on top of that. Because basically, for the next 3 years or whatever, every question that any of the media in Australia, especially the ABC, is going to ask anybody in the Greens is, so Anthony Albanese said you're all a bunch of cunts. On a scale from 9 to 10, how right is he, and when do you plan to kill yourselves? Like, it's never gonna be a great response from the media. Is just going to constantly talk to the Greens like they're all idiots and, you know, like they don't deserve to be there.
And just even the things they say and that they get away with saying, they're saying things along the lines of, I'm so grateful that we don't have to listen to 3 or 4 of those ones in the House anymore. Like, that's so good. Ha ha. And they're all laughing about it. I know, but it's actual MPs saying this.
Were they wearing their, had they put on clothes? Were they saying that sitting on the bench running around with their underpants?
They were running around with their underpants on their heads, yes.
It is insane. I mean, it was very, very descriptive that, like, you know, Anthony Albanese in his speech or whatever after the election, you know, he's nothing but kind things to say for Peter Dutton, someone who he's ostensibly opposed to, and someone who just outright called him a liar on national TV several times, and, you know, all sort of stuff, and, you know, gives him some kind words or whatever. But then for Max Chandler-Mather, all he had was knives. He's just like, nah, sucked in. Like, yeah, it was really, that just really shows you whose side everyone's really on.
To be fair, I figure that really harmed both of them. Like, if you're Peter Dutton being praised by Albo, pretty damning indictment. And if you're Albo being praised by Peter Dutton, pretty damning indictment. Either way, it's been actually fantastic. Like, you know, dickheads like Sherry Markson and Pauline Hanson and, basically all the worst people in the country saying the nastiest shit that they could about Adam Band. What a compliment. And about Max Chandler. Yeah. Like, really? I mean, the worst thing would be if they'd praised him.
Oh, yeah.
He was a worthy person that we loved working with, and he really helped us.
That'd be disgusting, and I wouldn't vote for them. Like, I'm not voting. If anybody who's praised by any of these assholes, I'm not going to be. I'm going to be really thinking twice about voting for them. And by the way, I do want to. I'll admit to it. I think I did last time anyway, but I voted 1 Greens in the lower house, but I actually voted 1 Vic Socialists in the Senate. So, and 2 Greens. But if the Greens want a data point about where any votes were slipping, well, they slipped to the left. Well, this one did. Of the data points that I have access to, 100% of them are the Greens, people on the left who are like, you're not being lefty enough. So, you know.
And that data point is the one significant data point.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think it really, really counts.
Or the people whose vote I saw as I sealed it up and put it in an envelope, 100%.
To be fair, it's the hardest data I've seen since.
True. I can actually give evidence of this. So, no, I can't, because there may be some kind of rule about revealing what a vote was. So in that case, this is all just a sketch.
You can tell everyone how you voted, can't you?
Fuck's fine. There might be some weird electoral laws. Anyway, So the rationale there is, at the end of last year when the Greens voted for the ALP, like, far from being blockers, they helped the ALP vote that guillotine through at the end of last year, remember?
Yeah.
And that shit. I don't want to see that again. I want the Greens to be doing, to be standing up. So hopefully Larissa will be doing that, and I'm confident that the Greens have withstood 2 weeks of absolute bullshit from all the people who just hate them in the first place. And there's nothing the Greens could do that I want them to do that would make those people happy. I don't want them to do that. Do you know what it is, Nick? I'm going to drop in a piece of audio here of somebody finally realizing that the people who everybody's telling him he should be worried about, who gives a shit what that person thinks?
What if I don't go out there? You're a coward. Sex! And you'll be branded a coward for the rest of your days. Everybody, everywhere, will say Clint Eastwood is the biggest yellow belly in the West.
Do you hear me wrong? I said that thing, you gutless yellow pie slinger!
He's an asshole. I don't care what Tannen says, and I don't care what anybody else says either.
Yeah.
And I think Marty McFly makes a good point.
Absolutely.
Well, you know, as long as you don't call them chicken.
Well, they're doing the opposite with the Greens.
Yeah, it's something that the Greens have to be aware of too. And again, it's another thing I think they need to really be workshop and make sure they've got their answers for is, you know, like, and it's come up, they lost because they were blockers. But it's like, no, their job in Parliament is to negotiate on legislation to make sure it's better before they pass
absolutely.
It. Like, that is literally their job. That's literally their role. And like the idea that they're it's like any time that, you know, anybody votes in a different way, you know, like, are they going to called the coalition blockers the whole time? Oh, they're blockers. I mean, literally, Abbott, his whole strategy was to say no. They called it the no-alition, I suppose, so they did get that. But, yeah, but I don't know.
But
I
just don't buy into that. Don't jump into that and be like, oh, look, we're not blockers. No, that's you're right. That is absolutely their job. Otherwise, why are they there?
The Australian
if they're
people,
just there to vote Labour, then they would be Labour.
Yeah, that's right. The Australian people gave us the balance of power in the Senate, and it's not like they gave the ALP a majority of votes. It's not like they gave the ALP a majority of votes in either house. Like, the ALP got 34%. There is no basis for the ALP to say, we've got a mandate to shove everything. So even if that was even feasible, like, even, you know, in a system where you only have a couple of parties, you cannot rationally say this part of their platform was the reason why the majority of why their voters voted for them, because they've got a whole lot of things, and you never know which things are that were actually supported by their voters, because there's no breakdown of it. And the only way that you'd actually know that is you had, like, you know, 50 parties and they all had slightly different
survey
versions.
Everybody
so
you have to serve everybody in the way.
So where you have big parties, big tent parties, there is no rationale for arguing genuinely that they have a mandate, even if they got more than 50% of the vote, because on any particular policy you don't know whether that was supported by most Australian voters.
That was the thing or not. Yeah.
And then in this case, they didn't even get that. They got 34% of the vote. So for the ALP to be... But I was arguing with some idiot on Blueski a moment ago, who was some Labour... It was possibly a bot. It may have been a bot. But declaring that the ALP didn't have to. Why should the ALP have to negotiate with the Greens? Well, because you don't have a majority of the seats. Because that's what you do in Parliament. Like...
You have to, yeah. Well, they don't have an option. I mean, they can just, they can do it. They could probably get the coalition on board to pass a nuclear strategy if they wanted. They could, and it's like every time they bring up the whole blockers thing or whatever, and they talk about, it was the housing issue. They did pass the housing legislation after they negotiated and got a better result. And that better result was the only actual set funding like, is going to go, has gone to housing or whatever recently, because as I think you pointed out to me, maybe, I don't know if it was on the last episode, Jeremy, or maybe you pointed out just in the last episode on the phone, but, like, because of the way the stock market's gone, you know, the Future Fund probably wouldn't have paid any dividends to go towards the housing. So without the money that the Greens secured for public housing, there wouldn't be anything. And whenever Albo was giving, like, pre-election and even posted a couple of times, he's giving his laundry list of things he's achieved, and he talks about the housing. He mentions that they secured the money for public housing, which they would not have done had the Greens not negotiated with them.
So
he's claiming credit for it and then shitting on the Greens for getting them there. Yeah, it's crazy.
Bring up the total amount that they've invested as their investment. Like, look, it's a record amount going into public housing.
Yeah.
But again, remember, there's two different bills. So but that's what they changed, because the first one, the Greens negotiated an actual massive improvement, which even Labor is trying to trumpet as their own achievement now. So then when they did their second one, the one that the Greens are accused of blocking, which they passed at the end, which was their second version. So that one went through, and then the second bill, which the Greens did eventually pass, but it went for a while. And why? What was the delay? The delay was the ALP would not meet with them because Albo made the decision that, oh, shit, by negotiating with the Greens, we're giving the Greens a win. So we're not going to even negotiate with them at all.
We can't risk that, yeah.
So, I mean, the solution to that, like, if they didn't want to negotiate with the Greens and share the credit for something, they could have just proposed a decent policy in the first place. Like, they could have had the public housing part when they designed the bill themselves. It's if they have to share some glory with the Greens because the Greens are the only ones who are like, yeah, actually, there needs to be some public funding, and the ALP didn't want to do that. Well, that's what you get for not having wanted that in the first place.
Yep, that's it. Take the Greens' ideas from the start. Just take all the Greens' ideas, we'll just vote them all through, and then you'll cut the Greens out. Like, yeah. You know, the Greens won't get any credit for anything because it's just like, oh, look at this great thing the ALP's done. They'll get all the credit for all the good
shit.
So
you should do that.
Yeah, yeah, they just have to
do it.
That's
what we say.
That'd be fantastic. I'd support that.
Yeah, you guys should completely screw over the Greens. You could get rid of the Greens by doing progressive stuff in the first place. Just imagine. Mm. Don't tell the ALP. That's such a brilliant idea that they, you know, we don't want them doing progressive stuff without the Greens, do we?
No.
We do. I'm more than happy for them to do that. I would love it if we had a progressive ALP. Imagine. Hashtag. Yeah, in our dreams. Yes. Anyway.
Yeah, I was going to say, the ALP do have two strategies on how to deal with, like, internally for how they could deal with the Greens. Honestly, they could either keep shitting on them and then, you know, keep passing dog shit, watered down, terrible legislation or whatever that's only really going to serve their corporate donors. Or they can actually, yeah, just team up with the Greens or whatever. And then, yeah, like, if they propose the good shit first and the Greens have got nowhere to push them, they won't get any media. Because the only time the Greens ever got any media airtime or anything like that was when they were negotiating, when they were pushing back. But if there's nothing for them to push back on, Labor can shoot it all through. The Greens will get nowhere. You know, they don't have to spend all this time and energy shitting on the Greens and that. And they might actually make everyone's lives better and then more people will vote for them. You know, like, if people see things getting better over the course of 3 years, if they actually fix the housing crisis, if they actually did some stuff to make people's lives a bit easier, then, yeah, I reckon, you know, they'll get even more seats next time. You know, they'll wipe the Greens out.
I wonder why they don't want to do that. It's funny that, because it seems really straightforward. Like, all you literally have to do is put up legislation. So, like, the Greens' hardest time comes when there's a bill that Labor's put up that is an improvement, maybe not enough of an improvement, but still an improvement. And then the Greens can be accused of, you know, letting the perfect be the enemy of the good. Like, if the ALP puts up legislation that's still a step forward, not as much as we would like, but it's a step forward. Voting against that's really hard. And generally, I think the Greens probably should just vote for that legislation if it's something, and they just say, this isn't enough. We're not going to block something, but it's not enough.
Mm.
But Labor keeps wanting to try and put up shit that's actually a step backwards. It's pouring money into the market that's putting prices up. The plan last year where they were encouraging people to pour in, like the Liberal version where they're putting in super money was even worse, but the ALP version is just inflating the market.
And they couldn't find a single economist or anybody who wasn't working for the real estate lobby to say that plan would do anything other than continue to skyrocket prices. Like, there was universal agreement that neither of those plans would work.
So if the ALP was progressive, all they have to do, even if they're saying we can't do as much as the Greens want, but we're going to do something, just put up legislation that doesn't have any downside. So that sounds naive. Legislation that has no downside, but legislation that is progressive, that improves things for renters and people locked out of housing at the expense of, it has to be at the expense of someone, and it's at the expense of investors, property investors. Like, you have to be willing to do that. Or, you know what, even just at the expense of the budget, like if it's, we're going to build a lot more public housing. Like, they could just announce that stuff and they'd be able to get it through, and the Greens would find it really hard to vote against it, and Labor would get a win for doing something progressive. And yet, for some reason, they don't want to do that. Every time they put up a plan, it's always one that somehow drags us backwards, which gives the Greens an argument for pulling it back.
Yeah.
It's not that hard to be a progressive, except for if you are the ALP and are not actually wanting to be progressive, which is the only conclusion you can draw.
Well, that's it. They keep calling themselves centrists, but it's just stalling. Like, you know, it's like conservation's taking us backwards. Progressive shit is going to take us forwards. You know, this centrist thing that they've, the Labor Party and the media, or, you know, the two major parties in the media have sort of lionized as being this incredible force of good for the Australian people, this centrism, it's just, let's just do nothing. Like, let's just keep things as they are. Like, you know, we don't have to necessarily, whether the LNP want us to go backwards into some, you know, crazy racist dark days or some shit, but yeah, well, the Labor Party just don't want to go anywhere.
Well, they just want the housing crisis to keep going.
But yeah, well, they are. They are actually happy with how things are going. That's the difference. The only reason ALP have to pretend they're going to do something is because they know that people, you know, that the population aren't happy with how things are going, but the Labor Party in general are very happy with how things are going. They're fine with it. They're all still fucking rich.
And here's the thing. In 3 years' time, we're going to be... Well, the ALP was doing badly. Until the Dutton did the Team of Trump stuff and basically gave the ALP the election by basically showing people how much worse it could be. Like, the ALP was on the nose.
I think they were. And I think you have that issue. I think the Liberal vote collapsing because people saw how badly Trump's policies were impacting America and the rest of the world. And seeing Dutton being like, yes, I'll be like Trump, scared people away from that. And the fact that they then announced some really stupid and unpopular things beginning scared away some more people, like the work from home things.
Mm.
So you're right, that vote did collapse.
But that doesn't mean people are going to go back to being angry with Albo because housing is still stupidly expensive. Cost, you know, groceries are still stupidly expensive. Everything is, like, all the stuff that was hitting the ALP beforehand, they haven't declared they're going to do anything. So, and at this point, the Greens will be able to point to Labor getting, okay, fine, you got your housing policy through. We're a year later, you know, in a year, like the end of this year. Has anything improved?
Mm.
Nah. In 2 years' time, will anything have improved? Nah. Like, they're going to be back where they were because they're arrogant enough to be like, oh, we're actually fine. They're, like, pretending that never happened.
Mm.
And so they're not doing anything. So things are going to keep getting worse. The climate emissions are going to keep going up. The crisis is going to keep escalating. Housing is going to keep escalating. Grocery, like all the cost of living stuff is going to keep escalating.
And, like, I'm interested to see which direction the Liberals and the Nationals and that coalition does go into, because obviously there seems to be quite that conservative driver from the Nationals especially, but that, you know, the Liberal bench is very split of which direction they want to see. So
if they'd gone with, like, a Turnbull, they probably would have... They would have had a decent shot. Like, they're somebody not scary liberal. Like, obviously, Turnbull's a monster. But if they'd gone with somebody... But the problem is that they've purged the party of all those people. Like, they've got rid of everyone who was even, like, the liberal version moderate. Yeah.
Yeah.
So they don't really have anyone like that there at all now.
So Susan Ley is talking about, you know, I want to go back to being a centrist party, a solid centrist party. And it's like, do you even remember what that is?
Who in your party is willing to do that?
Yeah, they've never been a centrist party. Yeah.
One of the things that I find, especially when I was watching these Sky News clips around the Greens and their new leadership, was they said, you know, the Greens are completely irrelevant to Australian culture and so far removed from our values. And I'm like, but they're not.
Well, I mean,
yeah. They're theirs, well, perhaps, but they were just baffled that anyone would vote for them.
But this election is basically...
Did you guys...
I was going to say, surely this election is pretty strong evidence that Murdoch and Sky don't have all that much sway. You know, they could not have been more on for the coalition and more hostile to Labor for years. Like, they could not have been more full on, and they failed completely. So, but there's not going to be any soul searching or what was the expression? Didn't the Greens get the memo? Did the Sky get the memo? Because
no, they didn't. It was did you guys listen to The Shot today or watch The Shot this morning?
No. I didn't get a chance.
Oh, great episode. And they had Alex Fine on, and she was talking about how when Albanese won and they got rid of the Morrison government, there was like a sense of elation generally within the population. We're all like, great, that's over with. Like, Morrison's gone finally. We're done with all this crazy right-wing stuff. Now we can get back to, you know, everyone felt optimistic. Like, I think at the time, from remembering our discussions, I don't think we were particularly optimistic ourselves, but I think overall there was a bit of a positive sense.
Relief.
That maybe, yeah, exactly, really. Sorry, yeah, that's perfect.
Well, because if you hadn't been following Albo closely, he was presented as a progressive leader. Like, he was a change leader, and you know, anybody... Scummer was one of the worst prime ministers we've ever had, so change to Albo. Like, unless you'd watched Albo and been aware that Albo has been shitting on the left for, you know, a decade, you might have thought he was actually a progressive person. I think a good proportion of Labor voters probably thought that.
Yeah, absolutely. But the interesting thing that Alex Fine was saying today now is that there's not, I mean, I think she sort of said it's a bit too early, maybe, like, she didn't have the exact data, but, I mean, I definitely feel it out there talking to people, is that there's not, even with Labor getting such a huge...
Number of seats.
Yeah, there's not that sense. Isn't elation or positive outlook. It's like, oh, maybe finally. It's like the overall, you know, mood. It seems to be of the public is just kind of like, all right, let's hope he fucking does. Like, it's almost resignation rather than elation. It's just like, hopefully he fucking does something. Like, I don't know. Yeah, like...
I think everybody's gone back to where they were in January, which is we're still bloody disappointed and annoyed with how things are going. It's just we've, you know, seen off it being the risk of it getting much worse. But Albert didn't get through by proposing something, you know, particularly positive. He just scattered through by not being Peter Dutton.
Mm.
But anyway,
not being a total dick.
Winding it all together, I think obviously the message from the election is that the results show that what I believe personally is the correct view that's held by the majority of the Australian people, and that therefore, you know, any parties that didn't get a majority of votes, which is all of them, should really look deep into their souls and consider ways that they could appeal more to me personally.
Yes.
And I think that's an important message, and I hope that they're all listening to that because. I think these Australian people have pretty much come on board with me, haven't they? I think that's what we've seen in this election. Look, it's as valid a take as any of the other bullshit we've had for the last 2 weeks. All the coverage of the last 2 weeks has been, you know what this result really says? This result says that I was right and the party should do more of the stuff that I say.
Yeah.
And I think we can all...
Yeah.
I think that's the message that most commentators have taken from the election.
We're all individually right about everything.
Yeah. And our rightness is better than your rightness.
Absolutely.
Anyway, so that's a new message to all the parties. Do more of the stuff I like. Thank you, Nick and Denise, for coming back.
Mm.
Denise told me earlier when we did an early version of this that she didn't have anything she wanted to plug. Nick, do you have anything you want to plug?
Not really for me right now, but what I do want to circle back to something we talked about right at the start and just say that if you haven't seen Hannah Ferguson's performance at the National Press Club, it was,
and you won't if you watch like News Corp or anything.
No,
they didn't cover it.
Yeah, they'll definitely bury that one deep in a vault somewhere. But it was. I'm a massive nerd for National Press Club. I watch pretty much all of them and have done for a number of years, and that was the most impressive performance on a stage like that I've ever seen from anyone. I mean, I really liked Richard Dennis on there a while ago, but Hannah Ferguson, and I think. You know, there's something to be said where the entire media sphere is trying to tear down these young influencers and stuff and delegitimize them.
Well, calling them influencers is commentators.
But yeah, commentators. Yeah,
influencers like this patronizing. Yeah, that was what she was pointing out.
That's what the media is calling them. But yeah, there's a big campaign to delegitimize these content creators. But then when you finally get someone, you know, that is resonating with young people and putting in the work, you know, on that stage, and they just outperform and embarrass literally everyone in that room, it was incredible to see. It's something that if you haven't seen it, absolutely go and watch it, because it was one of the few things that's made me proud to be an Australian in the last few years. Like, it was incredible. Like, I really, it made me feel more optimistic about the future of Australian politics than just about anything I've seen. It was an incredible performance.
I agree. I endorse that. You can find Nick at Nick Carr Comedy on the Blue Sky.
Mm-hmm.
You can find Us Well May We Say on the Blue Sky. And you can find me, Jeremy Sear, on the Blue Sky. And you can find Denise Deansy,
I think,
on the Blue Sky.
Mm-hmm. I'm pretty crap at using it, to be honest.
It's much better to get me on Instagram, Nick Carr Official.
I will say, it looks like the Greens have started using Blue Sky. I don't know why they're still using Elon's X. It's just the old Twitter. They need to. All the lefties need to move across the Blue Sky. I don't understand why we're still using the Elon platform. But anyway, so thank you to all of our Patreon subscribers. Thank you for all of your support. Thank you, Alex Lum, for the artwork. Thank you, Robin Gray, for the music. And we'll see you all next week.
Bye.